3, we're back in session, we're on number 7.
Board members, Dr. Black presents before you today the petition of the board under item number 6 of the agreement, which states the decision to modify or eliminate any requirements of this order is at the sole discretion of the board. This practice limitation remains in effect until the board modifies or eliminates the practice requirement at either the April or May 2019 board meeting.
This is the order to be able to recommend MMJ.
No, I already
do that.
But why are we restricted in this?
The only C2 that we can do, right, that's so it's scheduled for narcotic 3-4, right, and then I was limited to 2 weeks of anything else for one patient one time. But I haven't even read any of those solutions we've done yet.
What was our initial term? I apologize for not knowing that. It was pretty important based on
a year ago, we basically, a year from now, and take a look at it and stuff.
I mean, I think based on the feedback from the physicians we've worked with and the people that we have, we're getting letters from, I don't have any reason not to get the doctor's instruction. Okay, I'll follow.
I don't have concerns, I think. There seems to have been a period of big education, and that comes along with being a doctor and then kind of study, maybe even become a veteran in those regards.
I think I have.
The only thing I would highly recommend is just watch your patient base so that you don't get thrown back into some of that dysfunction with the narcotics.
That's good advice.
Yeah. That would be my concern. Because people will know that you have an ability and they see you drawn back into that.
Absolutely.
So I'll make a motion that we eliminate practice restrictions as set protocol for some agreement 17-084.
Second that.
Aye. Dr. Brubitz?
Aye.
Dr. Tapio?
Aye.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Kibitz?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great week. Mm-hmm. Me in the
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 8.
This is your old limit.
No.
You didn't do that before you asked the question.
Well, did you want to go into executive session, Sabrina, or?
4.
Number 8.
You know, I mean, maybe you should take it. I would take it one at a time, but depending on who's recused from, So basically it's on the agenda, so you're just approving the budget. So it's in draft form and you're just approving the budget. And then it's just we have the audios for the public meetings. And so the executive session minutes are there for your approval, or if you want to amend it, or if you think the language should be changed, then that's the time that you do that.
Is there any questions on the past minute notice. We get those, and we got that with today's packet. So, we're comfortable in moving on?
Yeah, I mean, I looked through them, they didn't.
Okay.
I looked through them, and I honestly didn't know what they were for, so I looked through them, but I didn't read them carefully and heavily, but I trust that they were summarized with intent and purpose.
So do we want to take the regular meeting minutes first? And then because everybody was present for that one.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joe, I took that back. Dr. Scott was absent.
Who?
March.
That was March. Mm-hmm. You want to make this all in one sweep? Do you want to go through the scale or...
I don't know if we can do that with the...
I was recused for an executive session.
Right, with the recusals and the...
Yeah. Well, do you want to quickly go through A through N, or how do you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I can go one by one, and I can call out who was recused at that one. This is the March 14th regular meeting minutes, and Dr. Scott was absent. So we would have quorum to vote on this.
Okay.
So 8A, I make the motion.
8A, yes.
Second.
Public, and did you second it? Okay, thank you, Dr. Rubin. All those in favor?
Aye.
Dr. Scott, I'm sorry?
Yes, Jane.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And then we have September 13th, 2018, the 12 noon. And Dr. Savick, you were recused.
I believe
so. 10 seconds.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
September 13th again, and there were no board members absent, so
just
sorry.
I'm
going to accept AC. Oh, thank you.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
October 11th, 2018, the start time was 12:49. Everybody here was present at that one as well.
I move to accept ADEF.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And October 11th, start time 1:26. Everybody was present.
All three of them at once. That was ADEF altogether.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you did all three of them at once. Okay.
We could probably go ahead and go F, G, and A.
Well, I think the rest of it is
G and A. Yeah.
G, H, and I?
Is there anybody else?
Nope. So we're good to go with G, H, and I.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, JK.
J and K. Dr. Rubin, you were recused from J. I'm sorry. From K. And from J, so Dr. Rubin's recused.
All right, I move we accept the repeat J and K.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
And this point, we won't be able to do, L, because Dr. Rubin was recused and Dr. Popio was absent. So that will have to table. We need to table it. We will have quorum.
L and M, or just L?
On just L.
Okay.
M. 138. Okay, M and N, Dr. Popio was F. We have quorum for that.
Mr. Goodfellow, I move to accept 8M and N.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Oof, got through that. Okay. And there is somebody here from Southwest College regarding item... Regarding item six. Yeah. So do we want to... This is my reconstructive report. We'll look at that. And would you mind if I stepped out to see if I can... Okay, so were there any questions on the executive director report? I'd like to point out we surpassed 1,000 licensees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Board members, I'd like to review the budget matters, if I may. So, as I said in my summary, after talking to the OSTB budget analysts, we came to the conclusion that we're bringing in 40 to 50% more than we're supposed to be bringing in. So I outlined for you a couple of ways we could reduce that. First one was just the removal of the requirements for clinical training certificates, and I outlined the reasons why. Or we could just reduce fees, and the fees could be reduced straight across the board, or we could sort of pick and choose what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do that. And
can you explain what it means to be bringing in more than we're supposed to be bringing in?
Well, so we're given or appropriated each year $184,700. That's what we're allowed to spend, and that basically is what we spend every single year.
But we can't spend more.
We're supposed to only bring in basically what we're spending, what we're given. We're bringing in almost half of that. And so right now, that's sort of just sitting, waiting to be swept.
Okay.
The governor can sweep that at any time. It's not something we can use. If I need more money, I would have to go to the legislature and ask for it and prove that I needed more money, and this is why I need more money.
How long does that generally take, on average?
I'm sorry?
How long would that take on average in general? If you were, the reason I'm asking is, should we need to hire other investigators for certain cases? That's been my concern, is that this board has talked about budgetary, sometimes we take that into account, and I guess we're not being in favor of lowering fees and then not having to be able to use your technical resources for cases.
Right, right. And so I would have to make a case, basically. I would have to go to the legislature and make a case as to why we need this. And I'd have to back it up with whatever information I have. Because they're going to ask, well, why do you think you need this?
Well, they say you're only allowed to spend this amount of money. And are we penalized if we spend more?
Yeah, we can't spend more.
You can't use
more. Yeah, so we're given this amount of money. Here, go forth and run, you know, run the board with this. And historically, it's been fine. It's, you know.
How do you go about raises?
I haven't asked for a raise.
So the government, so we get 187 from the state of Arizona, and then there's also the money coming in from all the revenues generated from renewals, of which the vast majority of that, you're saying the 47,000, can't even be used in.
Right, and so we're bringing in almost double of what they're giving us, and it's just sort of sitting there, and it can be swept, like I said, it can be swept in.
Are salaries included in that?
Yes.
Do we have caps on salaries, or are we allowed, we have purview to raise salaries, and that would then raise the ceiling expenditure?
There's a cap, but you have to go through this arduous process to have them okay, because basically the governor's office has to okay the raises, and HR has to okay the raises. So, you know, you have to go through a process to get approved. To get a raise.
Even to hire another employee.
Yeah.
Is the arduosity of doing that one of the reasons you had to ask for raise?
I think we're fine. That's why I put in the certificates, the clinical training certificate. And this is Dr. Swords from SENM, and he and I work together a lot. Processing a certificate. It's a time consuming job to do this, and quite frankly I'm not sure that it's even required or needed. No other school.
So to purchase a clinical training certificate or pay a fee to gain one.
The clinical training certificate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so the idea behind the clinical training certificate, I suppose it can be useful in the sense that each year students renew. Prior to the first certificate, they have their background screened. But when our students are first enrolled, or prior to enrollment, we already have a background screening. And then during their first quarter, they also have a fingerprint clearance card that they have to apply for and be approved of. So we also have systems in place for monitoring their clinical training, so like different milestones, different meetings that we have about students if there's ever issues with their development. So do we need the clinical training certificates? I don't see that. We're okay with removing it, but we do have a couple of questions. Like, say a student has a background check and it needs to be discussed. If we do away with the clinical training certificate, can these students still come before the board and see how this affects their enrollment, for example?
They're kind of screened. They were historically years into a screening tool. Yeah, and then it's a way of, you know, you got DUI, we had one that was incarcerated for a year, that's been, I don't know if you do Southwest, but there's been a lot of different issues that have popped up with the background checks she's run. So it's basically a screen tool. Are you saying that you're doing that same screen tool yourself?
Yeah. So we've been screened before we enroll them. And then issues like that will already come up. And so the board would then run their own screening, find these issues, and then discuss them as needed.
Well, that seems data is more liability we put on SCNM if we do that. Because what if they fail to report something that we other than we need without proving a clinical training certificate would fail to go recognize? Being that I'm married to the president of the board of the school at this time, I probably wouldn't, I'm close friends with the president, but I would have concern with that.
Well, and just to address that, if I may, I did address, I did contact Dr. Littman to find out his opinion of this before I even went down this path. And he just basically said, well, it didn't matter to him one way or the other. He referred me to Dr. Sowers and Dr. Mitchell, which I've had a couple of conversations with. So,
what's the purpose of What do we gain by removing them in this situation?
By removing it, what we're gaining is we're cutting our fees, we're cutting our income, so we wouldn't have to cut our fees, we'd be losing almost half of our income right there. And then the other piece to that is it's so time consuming to the applications, the renewals, back and forth. Has this one renewed? No, I don't know why. I mean,
where are the other schools? Do you know?
They don't have this.
They don't have this process.
Why
do we have it?
I believe it was put in place as a money generator way back.
I believe that. And since we have screening processes in place, as we find things with students that come up, we could certainly still appeal to the board. Is that correct? And our main concern is we don't mind doing away with the CTC, but we want to make sure that our enrollment process and continuation through the program is in the same line as the eventual license renewal for the doctors. So, say they get through the program, something comes up that's not acceptable from the board, can we come to you with and have the students sit before you and discuss whatever it is that came up in the background check without the clinical training certificate piece?
And one, would that constitute a complaint?
No, so under 41.1093.04, this allows, which states, a person with a criminal record may petition any agency at any time, including before obtaining any required educational experience, taking any examination or paying any fee, for determination of whether the person's criminal record disqualifies the person from obtaining a license, permit, or certificate, or other state recognition. So then it goes on to follow, you know, they would have to petition in writing and that sort of thing. They addressed, and I don't know if it's passed, and I don't know if it's been signed by the governor, but they are also running a bill with legislature that would include the language, the agency conclude, if they, notwithstanding any other law or rule, the agency may determine that the person's criminal record disqualifies the person from obtaining a license, permit, certificate, or other state recognition only if, and they're adding this language, the agency concludes that the state has an important interest in protecting public safety that is superior to the person's rights in either of the following, and then it says a felony offense or a violent crime. So I believe, even with that language included, it would give the board the ability. They're not denying a license, but at that time, I guess they could state that they wouldn't accept application based on this criminal activity. You know, as an example, you were arrested and, you know, charged with sexual misconduct with a minor or something. I mean, it has to be something that would be a public health and risk.
Okay, a couple of questions. One, prospectively thinking, should the school, for whatever reason, not come make a report to the board so we can examine that person who's, you know, kind of qualified for clinical training? Or if that doesn't happen for whatever reason, and then they pay for another 2 years of school, and then they come before us for licensure, and we're like, oh, you know, we probably should have talked about this before. We never let a board let you have a clinical training certificate. Could they then go back into the school? I mean, they could. We have the other statistics on that with the other schools. I don't think you are prepared for this. I'm just putting that out there and trying to protect the welfare of the school.
But the same could be said for any of the other schools.
Understood. I'm just wondering if that's happening out there, if that's here national or Lombard or...
I see both perspectives. One perspective is, comes back to the board, and we look at it and think, what's this after their 4 years? That's going to really agitate somebody that paid all that money and time. The other thing is, which I'm sure you guys have given some thought to, is say it was a felony, there's one I can think of, the incarcerated individual. That's going to probably hold them up with the DEA. So there's two entities. There's the state and then there's the federal. So I don't know how you guys are proposing, if you let them know, if they just, once they apply for a DEA licensure, whether they just get denied. I'm uncertain because I don't see that pass it up. And so it's just something to keep in mind. There's the two hoops. There's the state, and then there's the federal government who will do the background for the DEA licensure.
Okay. Is there any way to simplify the board's part of it, or is this all or none?
We could. I mean, we could.
And just not charge?
There's several things we could do. We could just issue at one time.
I was going to say, once you do a one-time application, that holds you through your second 3 years of school. That's an option, unless you're...
Right. I mean, if we did that, it would reduce fees. We wouldn't be getting the renewals.
Or continue to every year.
It's required every year, as long as they're it's actually 100 for the first time, but then 225 for the next 3 years.
Who's doing it? Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
So the actual MS application is cheaper than the renewal. Renewals are 225 each year. So.
And
it would save the students money as well.
I was just going to say, now, do you know, is that built into their request for student loan money?
It's not.
It's not, okay.
So it's out of pocket.
So
could
they complain about it?
It does come up, yeah.
Because, I mean, it's good to get in the habit of, like, okay, I'm paying for this, because I don't know, maybe they should pay the school fee or something.
Yeah, it comes up.
So every time they renew, it's normally 225. I didn't know that, so okay.
Yes.
And they're subject to the late fee, same way.
It's $113 late fee, even if it's just one day late. So then that, if things happen or they think they postmarked it and they didn't get there on time, just little issues like that.
I think that's a good thing to have that late stuff.
And it does work. I mean, they make sure that they're on time.
I do think it's a good thing because you do have to be in the habit of it. You need to stop. You need to be getting close to graduating. You know, you're taking care of people. Anyhow, I don't think that's the second part.
What would be the easier solution?
How about we renew? If we lower the fee on the renew. Should we wait the fee of the renew? Just the one pound?
Because you're all being able to put the work on them. Yeah.
Okay.
It is lengthy and it's a very time-consuming auditing process. But one of you mentioned a one-time.
You get your one-time application, and
so at least we have idea of who they are, in case, depending on how many they have. had stay in Arizona.
I think it's been pretty interesting, the people that have had to come in front of the board, what they've done, been through, like,
well,
the case that we talked about today, that guy probably, you know, maybe would have changed his ways potentially coming before the board to be asked about past DUIs, etc. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it scares anybody straight, but I think it's a life experience to come in front of the board.
I mean, I think it's a good prop to me, or just a quick monitor, whether we need to do it every year. I would concur with you, perhaps just one time. And what they do when they're in clinic, you know, you guys have some type of system in place. If hopefully, you know, if they have a DUI or some other item comes up, assault, battery, whatever, that would be picked up by our board, but hopefully it doesn't get picked up at the very end when they finish, you know, the 4 years of school.
Right. So if we do only one time, see how much disaster is going to hit, or are we in favor?
So, I mean, I think that would get us to where we need to be, if not all the way, at least partially. I mean, I don't know if I have to take it to the legislature and redo the statute, or I can just redo the rules, you know, change the rules out to just reflect, if I'm hearing the board correctly, it'd be a one-time certificate to run the length of the time they're enrolled in school. And that would have one fee, one application fee. And they'd be under our jurisdiction like they are now for that entire time.
For clinical training?
Yeah.
Because most of the office students that do in the rotation, they don't have their hand in position of watching over them.
Could we institute some sort of non-administration heavy or light way for the school to report to the board if there's been any changes? Just so we're not, meaning there's somebody elected at the school to review if there's been any changes to their record or whatever. Is that stupid?
Well, if we issue the certificate and it runs through the school, we have jurisdiction over that person the whole time. So then the school would be required to report to us, or that person would be required to report to us if they were arrested.
I think it sounds, for me right now, I think it sounds reasonable to cut it down to one time and lower the fees, even lower that fee. I don't know if that's...
Just when you crunch the numbers, let's say it was free. Does that get you to your goal, or almost there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we may have to lower fees
okay.
a little bit, but it'll get us.
How about with the licensing position?
Because the license is 165, and then you dispense it.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that was the number one complaint.
So we could, if this doesn't get us to where we need to be, then maybe we could think about changing that fee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I
agree. So, but I do like the one-time fee so that the student can feel, hey, you know, I'm engaging in clinical, this is serious, this is not something that I know too well.
And, you know, I tell the student to be transparent. If there's something they don't want to discuss as they submit the application, they're ahead of the writing and send to you guys. So, but yeah, one time it would simplify our auditing system and all the work that's required. The renewals would no longer be an issue. So that would be a plus, and they would still get the accountability of being with the board and the school. So it's think it's a good compromise from just eliminating, like, could you still get the accountability?
Do we have to make a motion?
Well, I just need guidance on which path you guys want me to go down. So what I'm hearing is you want me to try and see if I can, whether through legislative change or just a rule change, get this certificate down to a one issuance.
Whatever's most difficult for you.
I say probably rule.
I think you're talking about even if we do get it down to one, then even lowering the fee just approximates the allotment of incentive.
Once he crunches the math on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll work on the resolution. I'll bring it back before the board. You guys can take a look at it. We can discuss it. Yeah. Okay. Dr. Stowers, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what is your exact title?
I'm the clinical coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
So I help organize all of the student locations, make sure they meet their graduation requirements, patient contacts, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Good
job.
It's
a lot. Stuff like that, so,
yeah. It's a lot. No, he's awesome. Well, I'll just email him. And
what's that?
Did you have a chart?
I don't
have a supervising physician.
I'm not a supervising physician, no. It's a fun job. You have to be a little bit crazy to shag all the Excel sheets, but I'm crazy enough to do it, so. Yeah.
Yes, thank you for all you do.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Call to the public. Anyone there want to address the public? Back out there. No. Future agenda items. Anyone have something in interest?
No.
You?
I brought it up before. State ID cards.
State ID cards? Okay.
Okay. State ID cards.
You guys want state ID cards?
I don't mind having one for state employees.
As long as they have nice looking photos for us.
Okay. I'll see if I can. I'll see if I can
reach. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you look at the state ID cards for us?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm here.
just make sure Dr. Rubin's got a photographer that can kind of airbrush it. Anything else with, that's it? We've got state ID cards, we got all the public done, we got executive director's report. Dale will get back to us on that. And at 3:31, we're adjourned. You're welcome.
Gary. Wait, before everybody leaves, I have to ask.